And now Michiana Chronicles, a series of essays by area writers. This week, Anne Manuel Park celebrates distance and learns what a five-year-old would do when facing a fire in the midst of a pandemic.
Distance has been the longest-running theme in my life. I don't look for it, but somehow distance manages to find me. Long-distance marriage, long-distance relationships with my extended family across continents, long-distance connection with my first language of expression and culture, and now, like many of us, socially distanced relationships with our geographically not-so-distant local friends and co-workers. It's ironic, this necessary distance, when you elected to live an ocean away from your original place of belonging, to be part of a social fabric somewhere else, somewhere far away. But then, as August 1st chimed my 20th anniversary as a first-generation immigrant to this country, I realized how much immigration has prepared me for a socially distant life. Immigration, even a privileged immigration like mine, from a first world nation to another, teaches you distance. You care for a sick relative from a distance. You mourn your parents, kin, and friends from a distance. You celebrate and cheer from a distance. You love from a distance, make love from a distance. In short, you live a life defined by distance. Distance becomes one of your places of belonging. It becomes a part of your own self-expression. The perks? You can become more intentional, more generous with words and actions. A superficial relationship either goes away or turns into a more fulfilling bond. Embrace distance, and it might reward you with new and renewed ties, new and old ways of being socially connected. A flower left on a doorstep, an old-fashioned letter, colorful window messaging. Sure, it is not ideal. It can be frustrating as hell. It is damaging at times, traumatic even. It is messy, time-consuming, yet beautifully gratifying. I would choose presence and physical interaction over distance any day, but not in times like these. And let's be honest, if you live at least a few miles, if not a state away from your birthplace or your extended family, you've been living with distance all along too. As a whole, our nation has valued distance as a form of affirmation, self-fulfillment, and independence from our immigrant forefathers, the young men going west, to our college-seeking youth. Perhaps it's time to tally the costs and benefits of living with a distance in our lives. Perhaps it's time to let distance move in and wait until virtual reality becomes part of our daily routine. Homeschooling under the ocean? Therapy on the beach? The possibilities would be tantalizingly endless. A few months ago, before COVID-19 started spreading on our shores, my daughter was waiting for her father to come home. She woke up at dawn with a pressing question. She had heard of the coronavirus, since it was already a grim reality where her father was working. I tucked her back into bed. She asked, "If the house caught on fire, what would you take?" Predictably, I answered, "You. I would take you and make sure you're safe. The rest, we can always rebuild." Her fingers played with Ocho, her mammoth stuffed octopus, but her demeanor was serious. She stated, "I would take the house and I would leave the fire." I was struck by the whimsical wisdom of a five-year-old perspective. I simply repeated, "You would take the house and live the fire." "No, maman," she insisted, as if not accustomed to the many instances of slippage caused by my accent. I would leave the fire, and I may ask a giant to carry the house because I'm strong, but maybe not strong enough to carry the whole house by myself. Yeah, silly me, long English E, leave. You would take the house and leave the fire. And the kind giant is a genius idea. They are very handy movers. I sat down next to her and started singing her a lullaby. Smart and compromising little girl of mine, insisting that the world must remain whole and safe despite the evidence of the flames. I thought to myself, that's right, little one. Focus on removing yourself from danger. Move on, knowing that the fire exists, but that you secured what will continue to shelter and sustain you, as well as your loved ones. Yes, the fire got in, but you managed to move out by taking your home with you. Leaving the fire, removing what feeds the fire, means containing the fire. Keep believing in compassionate, sensible, gargantuan friends. Little do you know that you are already your own giant. One day soon, you'll be someone else's, many times over. As she fell asleep, I thought of the lives, the jobs, and the homes that had already been lost overseas, and the lives, the jobs, and the homes that may and would be lost here and around the globe. I thought of what home would mean to my daughter in the months to come. I thought of what engineered economic, racial, and cultural distancing, estranging really, had created in this country, and what it would mean to take the house and leave the fire as a nation. I whispered to the stuffed octopus, believing for a moment in the magic my daughter conferred to it. Get ready, Ocho. I'm afraid the giants around here are not thinking straight right now. Tell everyone we're taking our home and leaving the fire.
Anne Manuel Park is a literary translator who teaches English and French at Indiana University South Bend. Her commentary is dedicated to her mother, Genevieve Manuel, who passed away 8 years ago this week. Like the granddaughter she never met, Genevieve was a force of nature and an adept fire tamer.
Going someplace and there's no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over the ridge. Hot soup on a campfire in the bridge. Shelter line stretching around the corner. Welcome to the new world.
Michiana Chronicles is a presentation of 88.1 WVPE.